This morning's panel is going to be a treat for you. We're going to get to hear our two main speakers. We're going to have Dawn Waters Baker. Dawn, you can come on up if you would like. Dawn and also Natalie, please come up. Dawn is going to demonstrate how beauty sets the table for an encounter with God for her art students in an unexpected place, Dallas's Juvenile Detention Center. How is art working in the Dallas Juvenile Detention Center? As Gregory says, beauty breaks through the barriers, through the iron bars, so to speak, like an arrow piercing the heart, creates a hole tinged with poison that, ironically, can heal. Dr. Carnes is joining Dawn here on our stage to help us see beauty at work to heal and to restore. Now, here's the big treat. Here's the big treat. It's something that you weren't prepared for. Garland Dunlap, come on up here, is going to moderate for us. Garland, of course, formerly assistant director of internships here at DTS. He explores how spirituality and personality and motivation relate to work, vocation, and calling. He describes himself as an educator by trade, a theologian by hobby, a father by calling, and a husband by the grace of God. And here's a cool thing about Garland. Today is only his second day on his new job with the Community Foundation of Texas. And I think we have some representatives here from Community Foundation, do we? Yes, welcome, Community Foundation of Texas. Thank you for coming. Appreciate your being here. Garland is Deputy Director of Programs for Educate Texas. So he is moving up the old ladder of influence around these parts. Welcome our panel for us.
So I love action movies. I probably shouldn't love them as much as I do because they don't always keep with the values that I say that I believe, but I love watching action movies. Because there's something about the idea of, quite frankly, physics-breaking activities that there's a world in which that exists, that contravenes our current reality. And moving into a space where we become more than what we are in this present reality. So, but what's cool about action films is a lot of them, particularly the ones done by J.J. Abrams, they'll drop you right in the middle of the action. So the opening credits roll, and then boom, something's happening, and the action is taking place. Bullets are whizzing by, people are jumping over barriers, cars are driving at fast speeds. That's kind of what's happening today, is we're going to drop you in the middle of a conversation about beauty. Our orientation institutionally is we are oriented towards truth. And truth has a particular language. Truth loves certainty. Truth loves precision. I love truth. Truth makes a lot of sense to me. But beauty doesn't care about precision and certainty. And that's the conversation we're having, is we're having a conversation about beauty, which means that we have to learn the language of beauty because she has her own language. There are three sisters, truth, beauty, and goodness. So this is a conversation all week about beauty and in the language of beauty. That's going to be confusing for some of you. That's okay. If you walk away with questions, it means beauty is doing her job correctly. And I would encourage you, as these questions come up, talk to Reg Grant, talk to some of the folks in their department, sit them down for coffee because they really do love coffee, and have a conversation and bring your questions to the table. You might not get all answers today, but hopefully you'll start to understand what the real questions are. Dawn, when I first heard about your work, I heard it from somebody else, my first thought was, oh, that's cool, she's taking her art and she's helping these kids. And then, knowing you, and then after we talked some more, I realized that's not at all what's going on when you're in that space. So, set the table for me. What are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah. Thank you, Garland. I don't know if Linda Tomczak is in this room. Is she here today? Anyway, no, that's okay. Linda, love you. I started Alert Ministries with her, Linda Tomczak and Judy. So these two women, just marvelous mentor women, and they went into juvie. I won't go all into the details of why I started doing that. Let me just say it was a long time prayer about the issue of human trafficking. And coming from the country that I was born and raised in, I was born and raised in the Philippines, and it was like the Lord was just sort of coming full circle with me to be able to do something. So I went in with these beautiful women and I learned how to love, and they kind of just shepherded me through that. And then 2 years into it, they both were led to not do it anymore. And I felt like I was still led to do it. So they looked at me and said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I like art." You know, and just at that moment, the art teacher that was there was retiring and moving to Arizona. So it was just a God thing, and I said, yes, I would do that. And so now I go into juvie Saturday morning, and I stay there a couple, 2.5 hours, and we paint. And I get a set of kids every 3 weeks. So I don't know if any of you profs out there, that's kind of hard to get a lot of really studying and learning in 3 weeks, with, especially for students who have never painted in their life. Never had the luxury of having to do art, and never even crayons, some of them. So really we start very basically, but that's...
Now, in a previous conversation, you told this great story of you put a bunch of pictures of trees mm-hmm. in front of the students. And tell me what happens. Tell me what you're doing, and tell me what happens.
Yeah. And I just want to confess that I'm not a counselor, so I'm, you know, sometimes I feel like it's overlapping that very much. But I do believe in art being a way to into you. And so I bring these photos of trees, different trees, trees on a hill, trees in the snow, trees in groups, and trees by themselves, and trees by a wall, trees in the woods. And I lay them on the floor, and I have them walk around for a while, just look at them. And then I have them pick up one and that is like them. And they have to tell me why. They don't have to tell me the whole story, of course. Just tell me why. And, it's just a wonderful opener. Because for the first time, they're looking at a metaphor. Mm-hmm. You know, they're thinking metaphorically about a tree. And that's how artists think, and I want them to also relate to the feeling of a place, and so that's what we're doing, we're trying that.
And so, in that relating to that feeling of that place, tell me about how they describe themselves, how they both successfully and maybe not so successfully describe themselves as they're connecting to that place.
Right. Right, thank you, Garland. I think it's very interesting how open they get real quick. I almost have to say, you know, sweetheart, thank you. That's good. You know, just simply because I don't want them to feel. I feel so protective for them. And I'm sorry, y'all. I'm gonna get a little blubbery today. I noticed I was kind of that way this morning. I just feel very protective of them. I'm a mother. Of three wonderful girls, and so I just have this mothering, you know. So whenever they say something, I feel like, thank you for sharing that, first of all. Thank you for opening your heart to us. And then we're in a room of kids who are posturing a lot for each other, and so quickly there will be some pushback on that. You know, if the kid was very vulnerable, the other kids will start in, and I have to shut that down right away, and just be like, we're not doing that today. You know, this is a quiet time now, you know. And after about two or three kids, who are usually the very bold ones, we start to see the more vulnerable ones sharing. And it's just amazing the comments they make. I had one young lady, it was a tree on a hill in this sort of like, it had already been a harvested farming land, just barren. And she said, "Miss, that's me. And there's not even a path to me, you know." And I mean, that's just deep, you know. And I don't try to fix that, you know. When they say that, I don't try to. Well, you shouldn't feel because God loves you. That is not the time and place for that. Right at that moment, it is meant to come out and say, "How are you? Where are you now? How do you see you?" You know. And when they name those things, it does bring beauty into that place. And so.
So I remember you in this conversation. You mentioned some of the, because boys are boys and we posture, and so some of the boys are posturing. I'm the mighty oak. I'm tall. I'm strong. I'm standing in the wind. And you commented that they can't. When you tell them, okay, draw that, they can't do it.
Right. It's so funny. They'll pick a, you know, a redwood, and you know, and I'll think, And then when we get to the, we do a ripped paper, wonderful with ripped paper because you can't get any straight lines and it's not perfect, and so they just rip paper to make a tree. And it's just wonderful sometimes how you'll see this very tiny trunk, and some of the boys will be the tiniest trunk. The girls will have these huge trunks, but the boys sometimes will have this really tiny trunk. And I'll think, it's not a redwood now, you know. But it's very telling what they make. I had one boy who made the thing, and then he put some other brown paper over, and I said, what is that, Cameron? He said, those are Band-Aids, miss. I said, oh, that's awesome. Some of them have, you know, the limbs going out. Very rarely do they have a huge canopy. And I'm not a therapist, but I think they're saying something. And I also think it's saying something when they have a huge trunk and there's nothing for it. That's it. It's just a trunk, you know. And so yeah, the boys do like posture and a lot of. I will say we work on a lot of innuendo in there, you know. Mm. And I have to say, you know, boys, I'm a married woman, and so I really don't think we need to be talking like that right now. And they're like, oh, sorry, miss, sorry, you know. And you have to get past that to love them. I mean, it's the way they've been taught to talk. It's the way they've learned how to interact with each other to get the attention that they want. And I just remember, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. I just remember one time this one boy, he was painting, and he had put some very, you know, foul things into the, and I said, I came over to him and I said, we can't put those symbols, and I said, we can't hang them up if you do that. I said, but I just want you to look at me for a minute. And he turned and looked at me, and I said, I just want to know you. Who are you? You know, and he's like, okay. And I mean, I just left him there to think about it, but man, as soon as I came around again, it was wiped out, and he was doing something else. And I have his painting is in this grouping of things. Let me see if I can, there it is. That one. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? And you should have seen his face when he finished it, because he was like, oh, I did that. You know? I said, that's right, you did. You did. You know, and that's a neat moment when you know.
I want to meet that person. I look at that painting and I want to meet, I want to know that person.
Me too.
And he probably wants to know that person too.
Right.
Natalie, I don't know what's happening here. In my truth-based mind, I don't have words to explain what's happening, but I think you and Gregory do.
You know, I've been thinking about the way that Dr. Grant mentioned that the way that beauty sort of can, for Gregory, pierces someone like an arrow and makes a hole, but this hole from one side can be seen as an injury, and from when looked at as, you know, who we are and presently, it's a hole in your present identity. But then looked at from the perspective of eternity, from God, it's that which is opening us up to the divine. It's the hole that sort of becomes a window into the divine life, where we can grow into our life with God. And there's this is expressed, I think, in a different way in the work of someone like Elaine Scarry. She's a professor of English and philosophy. And she talks about how beauty has this unselfing quality. Mm. Where it draws your attention into something that's outside of yourself, where you're giving your attention over to this object outside of you, And in that moment that it's calling to you, it's calling you outside of yourself. And it seems to me that that's also what artistic making perhaps is also. It's a kind of attention, just the fullness of your attention given over to an object outside of yourself, akin to the kind of attention you're giving in prayer, right? In a way that both unselves you and then reselves you in a different way. And I wonder if that's part of what happens with your experience with these kids, Don, is that there's this experience of both unselving and reselving.
Yeah, let me show you this one. It's Aisha did this painting, and that was so true because she came in the room and she had her head down on the table, and I just went over to her, put my hand on her, I said, you know, Aisha, never in your life will you get free art supplies. Today is the day you're going to get free art supplies. I said, I would love for you to create something. If you don't want to, it's fine. And, you know, that kind of, I think she kind of thought to herself, oh, yeah, you know, and I wanted her to, I said, could you just paint what you're feeling right now? You don't have to talk to me about it. And I think she hit that really well. I think it's one of my favorite paintings that any of my students have ever done. I love her work. And you know, I'll just share this with you. When she finished it, she was in a totally different mood. Mm-hmm. Because she was able to do what you just said, I think. And so.
There was a phrase, I don't remember if it was in your book or in, but the whole making that makes one whole. That was the idea there. And I thought, that's a fascinating concept. And the other thing that I've picked up from both of you is interacting with beauty, especially in these kinds of spaces, it's a two-way street. So it's not just you teaching art, but I'm watching you being transformed, and I'm watching you being transformed. And again, I don't have language for it. I just know it's happening, but I don't even know what to do with that. So what's going on? What's happening?
So the question is, what's happening in the whole making that makes us whole, or what's happening?
Both. Or what's happening in that two-way transformation.
Okay.
Either one. Both. Yes. All of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure Don can speak to this more specifically, but in the encounter with beauty, there's both a way that beauty is breaking through the ordinary in some way, in a way that touches us, changes us, unselves, and potentially reselves us, and also where our capacity to perceive beauty is also changed by the encounter with beauty. And I wonder if that's something, Don, that you've experienced with the way that encountering this art that your kids have made changes the way you perceive the world, the way that you perceive beauty,
yes.
The way that you think about your own art.
Absolutely. I'll show you a few of the storms. You'll notice it's the same color palette. A palette is just a series of colors that an artist would pick for that painting. You'll notice it's all the same color palette. But different, huh? Yeah, and I love each mood is different. Each mood, they actually looked at a painting of mine, and then I took it away, and I said, now here's your palette. You're gonna do your own. And they were like, what? Let me see yours. You know, and I was like, no, I want to see yours.
That one looks more hopeful to me.
Yeah, and that's Aisha's.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? Let me go back. You want to see again? I did want to point out, I know this, again, counseling something, so please, y'all in this room that are beautiful counselors need to talk to me and tell me, teach me. But there is no ground. Did you see that? There's no place for that rain to go in that place. And I just think that's so telling to me of where they're at. The landscape is a metaphor, and they don't even know it, you know. But yeah, definitely. Here's one. The youngest student I've ever had in juvie is 12. And what is a 12? What is a 12-year-old doing there? You know, my oldest is 12, and Cameron couldn't even spell happy. I brought his prayer request. He said, "I'm happy for today." Does that painting look happy? You know, actually, it's very scary to me. And Cameron was one of those few that if you put your hand on his shoulder, he really just, because he missed his mom. And I had an opportunity to see him as I have to go through a series of doors to buzz out, and I'm having this thing, and I saw Cameron having a meeting with his mother, and they sit opposite each other. And his mother was saying goodbye to him, and he was getting up, and they were hugging, and I'm trying to act like I'm not there, because it's a very personal thing, and I'm just waiting for the buzzer. And so she's looking at him, and she goes, "I love you, baby. I love you, baby." And, you know, just the whole way out, he goes through these, and you can see through these glass windows, and as he's looking at her, and I mean, she was moving towards me the whole time, looking at him, saying, "I love you, baby. I love you, baby." And I thought to myself, you know, I would want someone to be with my boy if he was in there. And these moms work so long, some of them. I was talking to a young lady in juvie, and she said, "If I want to see my mom miss, I have to stand right there." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "She cooks at a restaurant until 11 o'clock, I have to stand right there to talk to her, and I can't move, I have to tell her, you know." And my mom's just cooking all night, so the kids, it's not like their parents are just a bunch of punks that don't care about them sometimes, it's that they're working their self to the bone. And these moms need us to come around and say, I'll help love your child for a few hours on a Saturday. I'm not you, and I'm not his mother. But I'd want somebody to put their hand on my Cameron, you know. And and I look at it like that's a window into love. There's another young man here. He did another tree. And
wow.
I look at the ground, you know, and I just... Green is my favorite color, okay? And we have such a hard time with two colors in juvie. We have a hard time with red and blue. And you're asking me why, you know? Well, because those are gang colors. Those are the Bloods and the Crips. And you think that's not real? That's totally real. Because those kids say, "Miss, that's not my color. Can't you do that?" I bring blankets into juvie. This precious woman at my church sews them. And I have to ask her not to make blue and red blankets. And so when they come into art room, I say, "This is the art world. And in art world, red and blue means red and blue. And I want you to use them as colors." And so this was one of those exercises of using green. And I said, this young man, I said, "What does green mean to you?" "Oh, right off, money, you know." And so interesting, because in my mind, it's so not about that at all. Right? I mean, I'm sure many of us here would say green is not like that for us, but for them, money. And I said, "All right, can you think of something peaceful you can put on green?" And this was his, you know, kind of forcing it there. But I did like the way the branches were so delicate.
Wait, just to be clear, this is peaceful. This is his version of peaceful.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see that.
Neither do I.
And let me show you one. I just kind of get a chuckle out of it every time. Excuse me, I'm going to go a little faster. This one, I love what she wrote. "It's okay to not be okay. We're not allowed to write letters on the paintings in juvie if we want to hang them up, but I let that one stay because I liked it. But the background of these paintings were supposed to be the colors of what they feel is them." And she's painting rainbows, and I go up to her and I said, That's you? Your life is rainbows?" And she said, "Yeah, miss, I have a good life, painting rainbows." I'm thinking, what are you doing in here then, you know, right? I'm not trying to be like, you need to be in the blackest depths, but I mean, they cannot understand it. And then we put gold on their hands, and it's very expensive paint, by the way, this gold. And I mean, for them to use it, they looked at their hands, they said, "Miss, this is real gold?" I said, "There's some gold flecks in that paint." And they were like, "Wow, miss, this is expensive." I said, "You are of worth." And so when they put that handprint on there, it's them, you know. And so then she wrote over it, "It's okay to not be okay." And I thought, interesting, that came out, just, you know, came out in her thing. I had other kids who did different backgrounds. I love this one. Hmm. And this one. This kid was from Puerto Rico. And it was just when all that was happening in Puerto Rico, and he's like, "I'm gonna do the flag of Puerto Rico," and he did. And he put his hand over it, and I said, what are you thinking?" And he said, "Miss, we need to help Puerto Rico. That's what I'm after here." You know, I just thought, isn't that cool? Wow. You know, Natalie was talking about how it's, and you two were talking about change in us. It's like there's never a Saturday I'm not walking back to my van and I'm thinking, "Wow, you're doing a work in me, God." You know, I don't like to get out. You know, I'm kind of a homebody, not really a people person. And but God's like stretching that, and he's always pushing me to try these things that are uncomfortable, to get out there, you know, and do things. And also, I see my own vulnerability. I can't do it. I don't know how to reach them, Lord. Only you know. And I'm not allowed to do a Bible lesson with them. We can't do that. That's okay. I have a good friend here named Aaron Schweitzer, and he spoke a truth over me once. He said, "Don, you just showing up on time every Saturday is Jesus with them." And I love that. I really, really love that. I thought, yeah, they need someone to come every day and say, "I look forward to seeing you today." We do our highs and lows. That's what we start with, highs and lows of the week, and we go around, and they'll tell me about there, and I'll say, "Well, my high today is I get to see you guys," and they'll look at me like, "What?" And I really mean it, you know. And one time I shared a low. My father was having some physical ailments and just how always struggling there, and I said, "You guys, my dad's not doing really well," and then for them to, as we were going around the room, say to me, "Miss Anna, pray for your dad. Miss, what's your dad's name? I'm gonna pray for your dad." You know, how they were loving me. So,
in listening to both of you, one of the theological concepts that keeps jumping out at me is the idea of incarnation. I'd love for both of you to speak to that idea from your perspectives. That beauty and incarnation seem to be related, linked somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to return, I guess, to some of my themes from yesterday, the incarnation is the revelation of the God who is beauty. And it is the revelation of that beauty through the merciful descent of God into the lives of humans. And it's precisely as merciful descent that God reveals beauty to us. And not just reveals beauty to us, but invites us into deeper participation in beauty. And Christian theology, descent and ascent are always related together. I mean, I think of this, that powerful moment on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ is revealed in glory. Peter's so excited at the top of that mountain and is like, you know, "Okay, let's stay here, let's dwell here, let's make tents." And Christ's response is then to descend in mercy to the ones at the foot of the mountain. Right after the descent down the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ goes to the crowd to say to him, "Lord, have mercy." And the way that the revelation of glory, the revelation of beauty is always tied to the descent in mercy.
I just think they're surprised by their own beauty. I think they are beautiful, and they've never had that spoken over them, or had someone care to draw that out. I know if you're a parent in this room, there are some kids that just take a little work to kind of help them see that about themselves. And these kids have not had the time. I asked Mr. Higgins, the warden there, I said, most of the kids are African American and Hispanic. And I said, surely they're not the only kids in our city committing crimes. Duh, right? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, these are the kids who can't afford the lawyers. Right? And, this is wrong. We talk about loving our city. We have a quote at our church, love the city, bless the city. We say, bless the city. There's not a moment I don't think about how I can actually bless the city. How do I go in to this place and show up on time and just paint with them? You know, I'm not saying I'm Christ, but I know I'm bringing in. I like to tell them this: Jesus is already here. I'm just meeting him. And whether I'm here or not, he is already here. But I love to come in and just highlight. Did you see that? Did you see what you did? Did you see that beauty you just did? And sometimes all I have to do is go, look. And the one young lady just put her hand to her face and said, I can't believe I just did that. I get that a lot. I can't believe I just did that. And it's like, yeah, sweetheart, because we're made in his image, you know. It will come out. It will. And that's the part I can't wait to, you know, I love to see that. So let's see if I can. Here, this young lady, we did a warm and cool colors project. So her tree was the warm tree, and then the cool in the background was her. You can't see very well, but her grandmother had just died, and the grandmother's figure is kind of hidden inside those blue squares. She was really missing her grandmother. This was so important to her that I understand that this painting was about her grandmother. You know, and I said, it's wonderful, you did a great job. But she's like, misses my grandmother, you know, and I was thinking, it's you, sweetheart. It's you. You're the beautiful one. But she wasn't ready for that to be. She wanted to talk to me about it. So, but I love it. Look at that tree. It's still got a little hope left, right in that cold space. And I noticed a lot of them want some affirmation. Once I've said something praiseworthy to one student, they all go, "Mister, you've not been over here." and trying to be truthful and honest to each one of them and not sound fake and things like that, I usually just say, just a minute, you know. There's just times I'm walking around, they don't know it, but I'm praying in my mind, you know, Lord, I don't know what to say. Would you help me? I don't know how to love this boy that just keeps saying something sexual every few seconds. Would you help me? I don't know, Lord, how to do this. But there are glimmers, and I know we talked about seer. The artist is seer. I feel like God does that. He puts on these little goggles. I put these in, and it's like God goes, see that? And then I can name it, and then it's seen by them too. And I praise God for that. Yeah, it opens the door, you know, like you said.
I think that is a great note to end on. I want to thank you both. We could talk for hours.
The goal of the artist is not to, as Shakespeare said, hold a mirror up to nature. The world can do that. Our goal is to open a window into heaven. The beatific vision, seeing the one who is love, the one who is beauty, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a transforming power. And oddly enough, it helps us to see ourselves realistically when we see him for who he is. Beauty unmasks